Were you anxious like I was when the Wallabies hit the lead the other weekend? And no, none of you were anxious about that. Probably not. But do you get anxious about other things, about your health, either your own or someone else's? Do you worry about the aging process and what might happen? Do you get concerned about work, either there's too much or there's not enough? You can't find work, or you're afraid that you're going to be made redundant. Or perhaps it's relationships that make you anxious. You can't find someone to form a relationship with. You wonder if you'll ever find that person. Or you're in a relationship, but you're worried that it might not last. Will it last? Will it go the distance? Or perhaps it's money. If you have lots of money, you worry about what's going to happen to it. If you don't have very much money, you worry about how you're going to pay the bills. Or maybe there are conflicts that give you worry. Conflicts in your family, with the neighbours, in the church. Something that keeps your mind just ticking over and over and over again. See, the problem this morning isn't that it's hard to find things to worry about. No, they're all around us. They're absolutely everywhere. These things that ferment inside you. Go around and around in your mind like a merry-go-round. You keep rehearsing what's happened, what you think's going to happen, and you never get anywhere. They can paralyze you. Philippians 4 this morning talks about a process where it seems like we can find relief from anxieties. There were lots of things for Martin Luther to be anxious about, which is why I think this passage was one of Luther's favorite Bible verses. As he sought to move from anxiety to peace, to find calm in the storm. And we'd say, wow, that seems like a good place to get to, doesn't it? We can describe this journey, because it is a journey from anxiety to peace in four steps. And the first of those steps is our anxieties. Why is it that we get anxious? Paul tells us, do not be anxious about anything. Or as you could translate it, be anxious about nothing. But anxieties, the problem is you can't just flick them on and off like you can a light switch, can you? We've already thought this morning about a number of things that could cause you anxiety or lead you to anxiety. Perhaps several of them are going through your mind right now, even as we talk together right now. When you sat down for silent prayer this morning, you just couldn't get them out of your mind. They just kept repeating like they're on an endless loop cycle. And if God is going to lead us on a journey from anxiety through to peace, then we have to begin by knowing what we're up against. Why are we anxious? In some ways, anxiety seems rather pointless, at least most of the time. I mean, nobody ever enjoyed being anxious, did they? We all like joy, but anxiety? Who wants it? So why do we get anxious? What does it mean to be anxious? When we get anxious, what we're doing is forgetting for a moment that God is in our world and that He's our God. That's at the heart of what anxiety is all about. What we're doing to ourselves is this. We're saying, I'm concerned about X, Y, or Z, and to some degree the outcome relies upon me. The responsibility rests upon me. It relies upon me. There is no God, practically speaking. Now, there are, of course, things that it's perfectly okay for us to be concerned about, but you know that not all of the things that we're concerned about are we responsible for. Many of the things that matter most to us, legitimate concerns, legitimate desires, are actually beyond our control altogether. Take our children, for example. The two things that are of most importance, most value to any Christian parent are, firstly, the life and death of our children, and secondly, the spiritual life and death of our children. But neither of those things are matters which are ultimately our responsibility. Yes, we have responsibilities to be wise, to teach and so on. But ultimately, Those two things that we care about are in God's hands and only in God's hands. And when we forget that, when we forget that our God is in the world and that He's our God, that's when we begin to be anxious. We concern ourselves about outcomes that are totally outside of our control, out of our hands. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul writes. And the first step to putting that into practice is to begin to understand yourself, to reflect on the desires of your heart, your desire to control the uncontrollable. How easily and quickly we forget our God. How easily and quickly we live as if our God is not in the world. And that brings us to the second step on our journey. We've seen our anxieties. Now also we see our God. You see, right bang in the middle of this journey from anxiety to peace is God. And if we were to think that the journey from anxiety to peace is just some sort of mechanical process, like a 12-step plan, then we'd be wrong. If we think we're just like machines, we just have to adjust the knobs and set them all at the right levels, we're wrong. Because peace comes from God. We see it at the end there in verse 9. Our God is the God of peace. So who is our God, and how does knowing our God, knowing who our God is, help us? What is it about God that will help Him to arrive upon the scene and start helping you in the midst of your struggles and troubles? And Paul tips us off. He tips us off as to what it is, the aspect of God that we should reflect on in verse 5. Right there at the end of verse 5, he says, "The Lord is near." Lord is near. He's up to something. Jesus is doing something in the midst of our lives, even if our lives seem very messy to us. He's near. He's designing things for a reason. Jesus comes to us in our anxieties and He says, "I'm here. I'm with you. I'm near you. I'm alongside you." And what is doing that? What is knowing that? How does that help us? Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you pray? What are you saying about God when you pray? This is what you're saying. God hears. God is near. God is listening. He hears me when I cry out to Him. And the implication is this: talk to God when you're struggling because He's listening. Talk to God about the things that you get anxious over. Write them down. Make a list and then talk about them with your Father in heaven. He's listening. Because if God doesn't listen, we've got no hope. Our anxieties are going to rise up. They're going to feel like they overwhelm us. And if we are on our own, then we're gone. But Paul says, our God is near. He listens. He brings peace. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And if we're to do, as Paul directs us here, if we're to be anxious about nothing, then we also see that nothing is too small or too big for God. If it matters to you, it matters to God. In everything, Paul goes on to say, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Nothing too little, nothing too great. When Arden was a child, I invented a game that we played after dinner at the time, and we've played it ever since. It's called the ice cream game. Some of you have heard about that game before. Some of you have played it with us. After dinner, we roll two dice after our children have chosen three out of the six numbers. And if one of the chosen numbers comes up on each of the dice, we have ice cream. It's pretty simple, really, isn't it? Well, it started well, as I look back, when Arden was a child. We had ice cream three nights out of four. And those of you who are good at statistics know it should have only been one out of four. Three nights out of four in a row, we had ice cream. And then, my children remember it well, we went through a really barren patch. like walking through the desert 2 weeks in a row when nothing. I remember one night one of our children was praying before dinner for the dinner, and they prayed, and please God help us win the ice cream game tonight. And we smile, don't we? I mean, you wouldn't pray like that, would you? But God is near. He's near to help us in the things that cause us anxiety. And I think for a child to pray like that is actually to acknowledge that God truly is near. That there's nothing too small, too little that matters to you, it matters to God. I don't think this comes naturally for any one of us. Paul says he learned this. He learned the secret of contentment. We're all naturally anxious. This isn't something that just begins overnight and all of a sudden things are well. This is something that grows, that grows throughout life. After all, we experience anxieties at the beginning of our lives, in the middle of our lives, and at the end of our lives as well. Now, children who had anxieties about not winning ice cream, they've got different anxieties now. In 20 years' time, they'll be different again. At the end of their lives, they'll be different again. And worries can spin out of control. We need to learn what Paul learned. I have learned to be content, he says. The secret of facing a really nice situation, the secret of facing a really difficult situation. Paul says, I've experienced it all. Good health and being stoned. Close friends and betrayal. He learned contentment. He learned to overcome anxiety. And he learned those things when he remembered our God, who was a God who is near. Our God is near to us. Our anxieties, our God. And then we see our prayers. Because God is near to us, we pray to him. We pray because he's near and because he listens. Paul describes our prayers to God as by prayer and petition. Present your requests to God. What does that mean when he says by prayer and petition? I think it's just this, prayer. Ask for something. Ask for something about you and your world in the light of who God is. Petition. Really ask. Want for it. Need it. Cry for it. Take an example about those first two verses of Psalm 28 we read before, because we're not used to really asking. This is what the psalmist prayed. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I'll be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help. It's a loud cry, a blunt cry. If you stay silent, God, I'm going to die, so don't be deaf to me. The psalmist is saying, here I am, Lord. Lord, I need you. It's not quiet, polite prayer, but it's out loud. It might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? But it's real, isn't it? We can see that. Talking to a person who is really there about things that really matter. And if anything characterizes anxiety, it's thoughts that just spin around inside your head like a flywheel that just keeps spinning and spinning. And even when you pray, you've had that experience. You know it's hard to escape that never-ending cycle. So pray out loud, perhaps. You use your voice. There's a God who is out there, who is listening. Use your voice that he might hear you. Act like he's here, a God who is near. Philippians here. It's not a genie in the bottle. It's not some magic words or a mantra. But it's a reminder that the living God is near us to help us in our distress, to reformat, to reshape our anxieties. That's why prayer helps our anxiety. Not magically, but as we in prayer reflect on who God is, as we reflect on what's real in the world, as we reflect on the real God who is here with us, we bring him our prayers. And then there's one final step here. And those last verses I asked Ed to add in. That is our response. Two very practical things we're given here that we can engage with. Verse 8 gives us the first of those. It asks the practical question, where do you park your mind? What are the things that go over and over and over again in your mind as you lie on your bed at night, unable to get to sleep? You see, anxiety is telling us a thousand lies. And verse 8 is encouraging us, inviting you to fill your mind with true things, with true thoughts. So you might pick one of these, or not all of them. Whatever is lovely. Anxiety is not lovely. But what is lovely is that God is near. He will be with us forever. We will be with Him forever. God is near us. He cares for us. That's a lovely thought. When you fill your mind with the thoughts of God and who He is, we leave less room for anxiety. We crowd out anxiety. We can park our minds on other things. That's the first practical response. And verse 9 is the other. Follow Paul. There are lots of troubles in his life, many troubles he's experienced. But what's he done? He's tackled them one by one at a time. There's no surefire cure. You can't control many of the things that you worry about. But there are small, productive, constructive things that you can do. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Take on what it is that you're called to do. Many things you worry about, you can't do anything about anyway. So what's the point? It's wasted thought effort, thought processes to devote so much time to those things. They don't get you anywhere. Or perhaps there are other things that you are concerned about, legitimately concerned about, but there's nothing you can do about them today. That happens too. But maybe, just maybe, there is one of those things that you can do now. Paul would say, pick something small and do it. Put it into practice. And the result of our journey? It's peace. The God of peace will be with you. Why is there peace? Because your situation hasn't changed, has it? The pressure that's bearing down upon you hasn't just gone away overnight all of a sudden. Those pressures at work, those pressures in relationship, the money pressures, the conflict pressures, they're still there. But there's peace now because everything has become real. You've gotten real with life, real with God, real with who God is. How to talk to Him. Real about what you're going to think about. Real about what you're going to do. There's peace because faith has been reawakened. It's been blown into flame again. There have been shared joys and heartaches, and now they've been shared with someone greater than you. They've been shared with God Himself. So Philippians here, it's not a lucky charm. It's not a genie in the bottle. It didn't just wipe out Luther's anxiety so that he had nothing to worry about ever again. When we take our anxieties to God as Luther did, when we take our anxieties to the Lord Jesus Christ who cares for us, we pray and then respond, then we've made this our way of life, and we will find calm in the storm. Amen.